Thank you very much, the organizer, for this nice opportunity and learning so much. I'm really happy to be here. My name is Michele Carboni, and my communication is part of a broader research that I've been conducted with two colleagues, Carlo Perelli and Giovanni Sisto. Can you hear me? Because my voice is not good, but it's very good. Carlo Perelli, who is here now, is attending the conference, and Giovanni Sisto. The three of us work at the CRENOS, Center for North-South Economic Research, in Cagliari, Sardinia, in Italy, basically. Here is the structure of my... Is there any room for halal in Tunisian tourism? So basically, our research tries to understand if there is interest, if there is attention, about the possibility to develop tourist product closer to Muslim sensibility. The concept will be closer, will be clearer once the, I'll explain the research. Here is a structure of my presentation. So I'll give you some background information about the relationship between tourism and Islam, and some information about Tunisian tourism. And then I'll introduce the research, some methodological remarks, and then findings and remarks. Let's start with the background, tourism and Islam. Okay, the relationship between tourism... Okay, first of all, religion is not a new focus, it's not on tourism studies. But the relationship between tourism and Islam has long been neglected, apart from pilgrims. But today, in the last years, I'd say, at least in the last 10 years, the interest about this relationship has been growing for several reasons. First of all, we can say for sure, as we know, the demography, because the number of Muslims is growing. Today there are more than 1,600,000,000, so and the number is forecasted to grow and to reach 2.2 billion by 2020, so you can imagine the numbers count in this sense. It's growing the number of Muslim people in the world. It's growing as well their spending powers, at least the spending powers of some of them. It's growing their mobility. So basically, it's growing the number of Muslim tourists. And as also Madame Rigoni mentioned this morning, the industry, the tourism industry, has already recognized the potential of this business. I mean, the industry already targeted Muslims, okay, as potential tourists, as not just potential, but real, and as... a particular segment within the world of tourism and tourists. What about Tunisian tourism? Briefly, okay. In Tunisia, tourism started to be developed after independence, so in the 50s, basically. The product that the country developed was Poiré defined it Eurocentric, a Eurocentric product, so oriented to Western Europeans, basically, with all-inclusive packages, with all the consequences of this choice, because we know that most of the time, most of the money in these packages stay in the country of origin of tourists and not in the country of the destination. Which kind of product Tunisia has developed? Sun-sea-sand product, so basically the sea, the Mediterranean. Before the revolution, in 2010, Tunisia hosted almost 7 million of international tourists. We are talking about arrivals, okay, and then we'll explain better this, that. The majority are Europeans, and above all, in hotels, so in the industry, most of people that spend nights in hotels are Europeans. Okay, in the last decade, tourism has counted in the GDP, in Tunisian GDP, for 8-9%, which, I mean, if tourism is in crisis, Tunisia is in crisis. Today, the country, from a tourist point of view, is a mature destination. It's not due to the revolution, or even before the revolution, the Tunisian tourism had huge weaknesses in product quality, high seasonality, which is related to the fact that tourists go there for sun, sea, sand, and you do that in summer. Hotel sector attractiveness, really weak. Our research, so methodology, what we did in the last 2 years, basically, so 2012-2013, we did a lot of different activities, lots of direct observation activities, above all, really in specific moments. I mean, I'm talking about conferences, I'm talking about a lot of activities related to development research projects that our Center of Research has implemented in the country. 50-ish interviews, semi-structured in-depth interview, 120 at least informal conversation we took note of, and obviously we collected a lot of secondary sources. The results I'm presenting now are basically related to the interviews, so let's see what we did. These 50-ish interviews we did were conducted basically in Djerba and Nabel Hammamet. We are talking about the two main destinations, okay, of the country. We basically interviewed everyone, I mean, the most important stakeholders, as you can imagine, local administrators, obviously, so politicians, local academics, tourist professionals, but also non-profit association representatives, as well as other professionals, like journalists, for instance, people that know about tourism, about the current situation. What did we ask them? We basically asked them both different questions related to these three topics. Okay, first of all, the evolution, the current status of the tourism industry. We wanted to know their opinion about the tourism industry in Tunisia now. Then the coexistence of Muslim and non-Muslim tourists. Why? Because in Tunisia, we said in 2010, there were 7 million of tourists arrivals. Half of them are Europeans, and Europeans go to hotels, go to resorts, but the country hosted and still hosts a huge number of Muslim tourists, basically Libyans and Algerians, okay? Different motivation, different kind of accommodation, so there are different tourists from Europeans, but they are there. There is a coexistence. I mean, in the country, at the same moment, there are millions of strangers of different religions, if you want. And then we asked them about their opinion about the opportunity to develop tourist products closer to Muslim sensitivities. Findings. I'll present the findings following the same orders of the interviews, obviously. About the tourism industry, the evolution, the current status of tourism in Tunisia. Respondents are really critical because, I mean, they perfectly know all the consequences of this mass tourism, of this kind of tourism they developed. It's a tourism that has dramatic environmental impacts and limited economic benefits for locals. Okay, so they were really clear about it because it's evident if you go to Djerba, Beauvau, but, I mean, the impacts on environment were huge and dramatic. But when they were asked about the social cultural impacts of tourism, their reaction was different. They said that tourism now, as one respondent said, tourism is now part of Djerba and it respects local culture. I mean, there is not the same consideration, the same concern about the social cultural impacts that the tourism had in Tunisia. About the current status, of course, there is a lot of concern after the revolution because everyone is concerned about the stagnation in visitors' number and tourism revenues. And above all, they think that the revolution changed the idea that, above all, Western Europeans have of Tunisia. So the image of the country as a safe destination is partially compromised. Even if during the revolution and even after, nothing happened to tourists and they are lied to it all the time. That's why they also blame Western media's role in reporting about Tunisia in a certain way. What about the second point, coexistence of Muslim and non-Muslim tourism? According to our respondents, so according to these Tunisians, this coexistence is not particularly problematic. Why? First of all, because there is a long tradition in hosting people of different faiths. As one respondent said, hospitality has nothing to do with nationality or religion. Tunisia is about the tolerance and practice of diversity. Second point, this coexistence is limited. Why? Because Libyans and Algerians mainly don't go to the hotels where Europeans go. So they choose different accommodations and they go there for different motivation. For instance, a lot of Libyans go there for healthcare. No, a Tunisian guy can confirm that. And then, but obviously, it doesn't mean that they don't express some criticism about the current situation. Some of them pointed out that the problem with alcohol sales and consumption, because you know, in this kind of resorts, European go there, basically they drink a lot. They do normal tourism. They could be in Ibiza, in Mallorca, Rimini, wherever. And this is not really close to Muslim sensibilities, if you want. So one respondent suggested it's a marginal position, but it came out. Europeans should be allowed to buy and consume alcohol in spaces designed for it. Proposition. When it came to the third point, the opportunity to develop tourist products closer to Muslim sensitivities. Because as you can imagine, we didn't go there, and the first question that we asked was not, what do you think about halal, and what do you think about Sharia? No, it was it took a long time to talk about that, obviously. Because as we saw also in these 2 days, it's a very delicate issue. We are talking about very delicate issues. Okay, Tunisians, our respondents, are aware of the fact that there are countries in the world that are developing halal tourism, whatever it is, because I mean we know that there is not even a definition, but we can tourism for Muslims, let's say something like that. They don't deny the potential. They know it exists. They know it's booming somewhere. It has a potential. One respondent said they could attract tourists from Muslim countries. I mean, this kind of product could be a great stimulus for domestic tourism, especially in the family tourism sector. And some respondents talked about Turkey as a country, an Islamic country that hosted a lot of Western tourists, but also people from the Gulf, so very orthodox Muslim that maybe I'll talk about structures, I mean establishment with two different pools, swimming pools, gender segregation, I mean very extreme, but I don't want to judge, but I mean this kind of product. But anyway, there's not general agreement about this option. Above all, the youngest, they were not at all convinced that this option is the right one for Tunisia. As one respondent said, the halal option is narrow-mindedness, not opening new opportunities. Anyway, we cannot say that this option was excluded, not completely, above all by tourism operators. I mean, why not? Most of them, if we're asked to develop it, if there was a demand, we could take it into consideration. It's business. We offer products. We offer what we ask for. But majority of respondents, even majority of tourism operators, were really pragmatic and said, it's not reasonable now. Maybe in the long term, of course, there is a potential. We know this business is growing, but not now and not for Tunisia. First of all, for a lack of demand for them. I mean, in Tunisia, there is not this kind of demand. People from the Gulf go everywhere. More Orthodox Muslims don't go to Tunisia, not now. But above all, they said that developing this niche market, because, I mean, it would be a niche market, at least at the moment, could be considered an option, but not a solution anyway, because Tunisian tourism has other kinds of problems than the country in general has today other kinds of problems. So more generally, most of our respondents say, think and state that there are other priorities now. First one, for instance, we have to work on quality, and to prohibit alcohol, for instance, is not a priority. It will not necessarily be an advantage, above all for the kind of tourists they have. Most of them are French, Italians, and Germans. and British, so I talk about people that drink normally every day, above all on holidays. Another point, another opinion, Tunisia has to regain the confidence of international tourists as a safe destination. So this is a priority, for instance. Another one, we have to develop a local product which announces the German identity, a model far from the current one of tourism enclaves, because they are aware of the criticism related to the mass tourism they developed, but not halal, not now. So remarks to conclude, it was shorter than, well done. Okay, till now we can say that our research, the main result of our research is that there is a moderate interest, at least in Tunisia, for this kind of tourism. The potential is recognized, but in general, stakeholders think that it's not the right moment, it's not the priority, let's say, to develop it. This, despite, I mean, the consideration of a lot of observers, a lot of academic scholars, for instance, like I quote Henderson, which is one of the most quoted scholars, where we talk about Islamic tourism or Muslims tourism. The best economic prospects for Islam tourism seem to be concentrated in majority Muslim countries, notably in the Middle East and North Africa. It's repeated. Henderson wrote it in 2010, but it's been years that this statement is repeated. I don't want to call it a legend because it's not. And above all, there are countries that are developing these kind of products. But North Africa, there are no studies on North Africa. As far as we know, we are the first and we are trying to do this research. On Tunisia, there are no studies on Morocco, so this huge potential that people recognize to Islamic tourism is still, doesn't meet the favor of local population. It's not confirmed by the local population, by tourism operators. And in general, another thing that we wanted to highlight is that all these respondents, we are talking about people of different age, different walk, I mean, different backgrounds, and even different religious habits, or different, you know what I mean? They don't look at tourism from a religious perspective. As one respondent said, there is no Muslim, Christian, or Jewish tourism, there is only tourism, which is very similar to what said during a conference on tourism, the president, not the prime minister, there's not halal tourism, there is simply tourism. Of course, we're not president, above all in a country like Tunisia today, because we are talking about representative of Ennahda, I mean, it's doing politics, so it has not necessarily something to do with the reality, okay? It's doing politics, but anyway, these two declarations were similar. So maybe there is a feeling that's shared by people. So this product closer to the mass and religious sensibility, the possibility, as I said, is not totally rejected. In fact, next year, there will be the second edition of the tourist fair of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation Member States. It will be in Tunisia, and close and finish. It will be in Tunis. So. There will be new developments. It's for sure something to follow, to see. But till now, respondents are more focused, and even, the government, they all are more concentrated on the actual scenario, which is basically the same of the pre-revolutionary period. It's a country, it's a tourism that is losing competitiveness, the structures are older and older. The kind of problems that emerge are definitely different. So this halal tourism now seems to be a low priority. Thank you very much.